Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra. My name is Yitzhak Shalom, and I've been privileged to be studying with you all week. Parashat HaShavua, Parashat Vayishlach. We're now going to look at the final Aliyah in this wonderful series hosted at OU.org, sponsored by the Orthodox Union. A great opportunity for us to study together the most ancient and significant of texts using the most modern of technologies. In the final Aliyah, as I mentioned, is a passage which is largely overlooked. It looks at two pieces that are sort of the Ur history of Edom. Pasuk Chaf in Parakol Vav, Elav Nei Seir HaChori Yoshvei Haaretz, Lutar B'Shavah V'Tzivon V'Ana. This is the descendants of Seir, who then were conquered by Esav. The Chori is the name of the nation. V'Dishon V'Eitzim V'Dishan Eila Lufei HaChori B'Nei Seir Be'Eretz Edom. Eretz Edom is now a later name because it's the land of Esav, who's called Edom. Vivre Lotan Chori Ve'Eman Bachot Lotan Timna, who came in the earlier passage of Timna's role. Ve'Ele Bnei Shuvah Ve'Alavar Manachat Ve'Eval Shvol Ve'Onam Ve'Ele Bnei Tzivon Ve'Aya Ve'Ana, which are Nahu Ana Shematzat Te'Yimim Ba'Vipar. These are donkeys to be found. Ve'Tot HaChamorim Le'Tzivon Aviv. Ve'Ele Bnei Ana Dishon Ve'Livama Bat Ana. Ve'Ele Bnei Dishan Chemdam Ve'Eshbon Ve'Tuan Uchan. So here we find a style that only appears in Chumash in the context of Esav earlier in this parak and Chori, who Esav inherited from, which indicates perhaps that when Esav inherited the land, conquered the land, he took over the local nomenclature for tribal heads of Aluf. Aluf Tishan, Aluf Eitzah, Aluf Tishan, Ela Aluf Achuri, Aluf Ehem, Be'eretz Seir. And of course, that's the land that Esav conquered and took over. So this is now the background. And then we have a passage which is most mysterious. Ve'elam Lachem Hashemachu Be'eretz Edom, Lifnei Meloch Melech Nivnei Yisrael. One of the most popular things to discuss here is Lifnei Meloch Melech Nivnei Yisrael. Is that a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu? Is it a reference to Shaul or to David? What is the reference? If it's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is fine, and it's telling us who all the kings were in Edom before we came on the scene with Bnei Yisrael coming up. If it's a reference to Shaul and David, this of course is a problem of timing, and it's interesting that it's Ibn Ezra, of all people, who quotes a particular Yitzhaki, almost passage, and says that, Yitzhaki says that this passage was written much later, times of Yehoshaphat, perhaps, and had it in. And then he says, for Ra'ui Sifroli Saref, this commentary should be burned. And he says that Kachi Karashma Yitzchak, playing on Hachi Karashma Yaakov, he says, this is why his name is Yitzchak. Kol HaShomea Yitzchak, though anybody who hears such a thing will laugh at him. He says, this is silly, and then he gives his own interpretation. Of course, when there was some interesting, I suppose somebody wrote an article a number of years ago trying to identify who the Yitzchak he was. But nonetheless, this passage is very troubling as to both its significance and its presence, and also its timing. In any case, this is the list of the kings of Edom before Melech Bnei Yisrael, indeed Rashi seems to indicate that this was, these were the kings before Shaul. He indicates that in the middle of our parsha when, Esav's readiness to come forward earns him eight kings before Yaakov has kings. Okay. Botsra is a town towards Saudi Arabia and South Jordan. So this is all in the Arabian Peninsula. Hadad ben Bedad. Is a name that shows up later on in history, in the times of Shlomo. Amaket Midyan b'stei Moab v'shem Yiroh Avit. So this famous Hadad who went to war against Midyan and smote them, his town was Avit. V'emot Hadad v'noch tachtav Samlami Masrika v'emot Samlami v'noch tachtav Shaul Merchavot Anar. That's of course not our Shaul. V'emot Shaul v'noch tachtav Baal Hanan ben Achbor. V'emot Baal Hanan ben Achbor. So clearly his wife was somebody important, maybe he married into kingdom, and she's somebody of great riches. Ve'elashmot alufei sav. Now we go back to alufei sav. Mishmotam ve'komotam. Mishmotam aluf tina, aluf ava, aluf yitet. Aluf alivma, aluf eila, aluf pinon, aluf kras, aluf tima, aluf yitzar. Aluf agdiel, aluf eiron. And this, of course, not the same list that we saw Iram. This is not the same list that we saw earlier in the parak. That's the end of our parak, and indeed the end of our parasha. So whereas the beginning of our parasha was Yaakov sending messages to Esav, who was in Edom, this is the backstory of all the kings who existed, and then Esav comes on the scene. However, does Esav come on the scene after these kings, or are these kings later? As Rashi suggests, and others suggest, the Himalach Malach in Israel, which is, of course, the timing of this, of the composition of this piece, is difficult. Just as a footnote to that, so that the wrong impression should not be taken, the difficulty of having things in the Torah that have not yet occurred as prophecy is not a problem at all. When Moshe and Shirat HaAzinu and Shirat HaYam foretells about troubles that are gonna take, Am Yisrael into exile and troubles that will find them, that's not a problem at all. That's what Nevuah is. However, when you're presenting a description of names and places to an audience that doesn't recognize them all because it hasn't yet happened, that's a little bit difficult. What do you do with passages like that? And of course, there's a much larger question about whether there are passages that are somewhat subdued and left, do not open until later. There are passages that this is a mystery and we'll understand later what it is, or the passages that are indeed added later, as is the opinion of some Tanaim, referring to the last few psukim of the Torah. Even Ezra makes that a larger position. These are all questions which we have no way to really settle. But of course, one of the real mysteries is this last passage of the Melachim, Asher Malchu Be'eretz Edom, Melach Melech, Livnei Yisrael. There's also one last piece, is the Melachim, Asher Malchu Be'eretz Edom, of course, are descendants of Esav. And this gives the sense that Esav's rule predates, and does indeed, establishing a malchut of Esav does predate that of Bnei Yisrael. Does that mean that we can go back to the beginning of Parshat Toldot and interpret the prophecy given to Rivka, Rav Yaakov Tzair, meaning not that the elder will be subjugated to the younger, but rather the elder will subjugate the younger, he will have the king first, and that the king of the younger is going to come later on? What does it mean that this has nothing to do with that? Is this a reward for Esav for certain kinds of behavior, that he gets to have his kings show up first and is there in place before Am Yisrael establishes a king? Unclear. There is much to recommend in Parshat Vayishlach and less in Parshat Toldot. There is much to recommend Parshat Vayishlach that indeed Esav had particular merits to his name and might have been the cause for this opportunity to have kings first. In any case, Baruch Hashem, we got to the point of Meloch Melech Bnei Yisrael, and as the Nevi'im anticipate, ultimately cataclysmic battle between Yaakov and Esav will be completed and concluded with Ve'alu Moshim Bahar Siyo Neshivot Et HaEsav Vahita Lanu Mayav Luchaf. Amen, Kein Yehi Ratzon. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbat. It's been a pleasure and a privilege sharing Parashat Vayishlach with you from Eretz Binyamin. And we'll catch up again in the next podcast.